Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will delay a vote on whether to proceed with the Senate's health care overhaul until after the July 4th recess. McConnell had been pushing for a vote this week, but today he told reporters that he wants to make some changes to the legislation first.
We're going to continue the discussions within our conference on the differences that we have that we're continuing to try to litigate. Consequently, we will not be on the bill this week, but we're still working toward getting at least 50 people in a comfortable place.
The bill faces opposition from Senate Democrats and a growing number of Republicans following a report from the Congressional Budget Office that said it would lead to 22 million more people without health insurance by 2026. For more on what's in the bill in its current form, we're joined by Sarah Cliff, senior editor at Vox, where she covers health care. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And let's start with the CBO report that we got yesterday. You've been digging into it. We've heard that headline number of 22 million people who would lose their health insurance over the next decade. What else does the CBO report say?
So I think the thing that's really significant about the CBO report is it gets into who would lose coverage. And one of the things we see there is that it would really be low-income Americans. The exact people who gained coverage under the Affordable Care Act would really be the people who they would see their premiums essentially go up, is what CBO says. And the CBO expects that if the premiums went up, these people simply would stop buying health insurance.
And is most of that because of Medicaid, or is that the individual market?
It's a mix. So you definitely see significant Medicaid loss. The House bill and the Senate bill are very similar in that you'd see 14 to 15 million people losing Medicaid. And then over in the individual market, the CBO estimates that that would shrink by about 7 million people with the changes in the Senate bill.
Now, the CBO report also said that people would pay more for less coverage, that is higher premiums for plans with higher copays and deductibles. Who would be most affected?
Yeah, so I think anyone who is in the individual market right now, particularly the 9 million or so Americans that are subsidized in the individual market, they would see big changes. And also those Medicaid enrollees you mentioned. The idea in the Senate bill is that Medicaid expansion would be phased out, but those people could go into the individual market, use the tax credits to buy health insurance. The CBO doesn't really think that's how it will play out. They think that those people will lose Medicaid. They will qualify for tax credits, but it will not make health insurance affordable enough for a really low-income population.
Now, Republican Senator John Cornyn, who's in the leadership, said one of the reasons for the rush to pass this bill is that health insurance markets across the country are in, quote, full meltdown mode as insurers leave some rural counties entirely. Does the CBO say that the Senate bill would fix that problem?
No, it doesn't. And I think, you know, I do a lot of reporting on the insurance markets, and I'd say full meltdown mode feels like quite the exaggeration to me. There are certainly some states where the marketplaces are struggling, three states in particular that are having a hard time. But the markets aren't in meltdown, and it's not clear that the Senate bill would fix it. One of the things that CBO is quite clear on is that they think there would still be some areas of the country with no individual insurance market carriers, even if the Senate bill did become law.
Who is this bill good for?
It is good for you if you are quite wealthy. You would receive some pretty generous tax cuts. And there's also a kind of small niche group in the individual market who would benefit. It would be kind of younger people who have very little health insurance needs, who buy on the individual market. I've kind of thought up there might be like some startup in San Francisco with young employees that doesn't quite offer insurance yet. The way the tax credits work out, those people might get a slightly better deal under the Senate bill.
One more thing I want to ask you about. Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican, told NPR's Morning Edition today that he wasn't ready to vote on the bill this week, but he raised the idea of something that a lot of Republicans have pointed to as a way to deal with people of pre-existing conditions, high-risk pools. Here he is.
Well, first of all, you can actually cover people with the pre-existing conditions without collapsing insurance markets. So Wisconsin had a pretty effective high-risk pool. Maine, with guaranteed issues when their premiums doubled, instituted something called the invisible high-risk pool and pretty well cut those premiums in half. So there's a way of doing this without collapsing insurance markets.
Is he right about that, that high-risk pools would work around the country?
You know, they could in theory, but I think in practice is where it gets tricky. One of the hard things that high-risk pools, you know, including Wisconsin's, have run into is that they're really expensive to fund. The people who sign up tend to have some really, really high medical bills. And the challenge then, honestly, it's the biggest challenge of structuring a health insurance market, is that you just have some really expensive people, and you could insure them in high-risk pools, you could insure them in the rest of the market, but at the end of the day, you have to be willing to commit a significant amount of money to pay those medical bills. And the challenge with high-risk pools we've seen is that usually the amount of funding they have, it does not equal the amount of demand there is for that kind of coverage.
That's Sarah Cliff, who covers healthcare for Vox. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.